Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, we're learning about going and making disciples of all nations. We're learning about evangelism and how to do that. And so I mentioned this account a couple weeks ago, and I want to say again, as always, I'm thankful for those who are willing and able to step up and teach or preach when I'm away. And so appreciate Brother Terry last week. And here we are in Luke 5. I encourage you guys to study this out on your own. For me, I personally believe Luke 5's account is a different account than the account that's listed in Mark chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 4. But again, you study that out for yourself. Either way, there's some details here that I think will help us in understanding how to be effective at catching men, at doing the work of being fishers of men. So if you're able, let's stand together. Luke 5, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to your throne of grace tonight, once again, we thank you for the week that you've blessed us with so far. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And so we give you praise and honor and glory, for you alone are worthy. Thank you for answered prayers, and thank you for the peace that you've given us in the trials that we face. And we pray that you will help our nation to turn back to you. We pray, Lord, that you'll help our state to stand and do what is right in your eyes. And God, we pray that you'll bless in the elections that we've had, Lord, that your will has been done. And we pray that your will would be done in the runoffs coming up in those races. And we just pray that you would raise up godly leaders who will stand on the truth of the word of God and lead according to your truths. Father, we pray that you'll forgive us where we fall short. Please bless your word tonight. And Lord, as we look to go from this place tonight, I pray that we would look to have a more faithful walk with Jesus. Lord, that we would look to have a better witness for you, Lord, that you would help us to be more faithful in sharing Christ with others. Please give us compassion for the lost. Give us courage and boldness. And we just pray that you'll help in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So we come into chapter 5 of Luke and notice right off the bat the desire that people had to hear the word of God. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, and certainly the fame of Jesus has started to spread. People have heard about the healing and different things, but right now they're coming to hear him. Now this is the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias, and it is really what we would call more of a lake, freshwater. It was about 7 by 12 miles, and so more of a lake than we would call a sea. But there he is. The people are coming upon Jesus, and they had a desire to hear the word of God. Now, by all accounts, some of these were probably people who maybe had heard Jesus and believed on him, but there was a multitude. The press was so much that he couldn't even get room to stand there, and so he ends up in one of the ships and pushes off a little bit in Simon's boat so that he's out on the water. They're up on the seashore, and it would have been like an amphitheater, and Jesus would have been able to preach to the people there. But I'm just amazed at the desire, because some of them were probably believers, but there was a multitude of people who probably weren't believers, and they had a desire to hear the word of God. That's striking to me when I consider how little people who claim to be Christians today desire to hear the word of God. How little we sometimes desire to hear the word of God. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I want to know, have you experienced the graciousness of Jesus? And if you've experienced, you've tasted of that, then there ought to be a desire for the word of God. And I know we've talked about it a lot of times, but listen, I'm telling you, when a newborn baby is hungry for milk, there is nothing that's going to satisfy except for milk. They cry out for it, and they'll continue to cry out for it. They're never going to be satisfied until they get that milk. And that's the picture that God's Word gives us of our desire, what it ought to be for the Word of God. It shouldn't be that I get up in the morning and say, oh man, I have to read my Bible. It ought to be that there's a crying out in my soul that I desire the Word of God. And that's the way these people were. They wanted to hear the Word of God from Jesus. So Jesus gets in Simon's boat and he says, Simon, I want you to, he prays him. He asks him, he requests of him to push him out a little bit. So there's Jesus in the boat, the people on the shore. And Jesus sits down in the boat and teaches the people out of the ship. And how many of you would just love to be able to know what he said? Man, to hear the sermon that Jesus preached, to hear the message that he gave that day. And so he sits down and he teaches the people there. He delivers the word of God. They had a desire to hear the word of God. It reminds me, I couldn't help but think about Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Amen. Listen, they built a pulpit. They built a platform for Ezra to stand on so he would be up where everybody could see him and hear him. They built it for that purpose. And he was up on the platform, the pulpit. All the people stood there and listened to the word of God from morning until the middle of the day, and they were attentive. Amen. Listen, I've been talking for about 5 minutes, and most of us haven't been attentive. I'm pretty sure I got lost a couple of times. I'm just saying that there's a desire in the heart of some people to hear the word of God, and we see it in these people who gathered around the seashore of the Galilee that day, and we see it in the Old Testament. It goes on there in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And it says that the people were caused to understand the law. And verse 8 says, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now, I don't know what Jesus preached from the ship that day, but the people had a desire to hear the word of God. And when he sat and taught the people, he taught them the word of God. And so he would have given them the word of God, the scriptures, and he would have given them the sense of them and caused them to have an understanding. That's what he did. And that ought to be my desire when I stand and preach the word of God. That ought to be your desire when some of you teach a Sunday school class. That ought to be your desire when you have family worship, when you moms and dads sit down with your kids, that you would read in the word of God, that you would read it distinctly, that you would give the sense of it, that you would cause an understanding, that when we're at church and when we're at home, we're trying to give an understanding of the Word of God. And by the way, that's our desire when we talk to people out there. Amen. It's not about my opinion, my ideas, or our understanding. We're trying to tell people what the Word of God says. We've got to get back to what does the Bible say? And so that's where they were at. They wanted to hear the word of God. Jesus was teaching them. And so when he finished talking, verse 4, back in our text, Luke 5, verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Now, when they toiled all night, it means they worked hard all night long. It was common in those days. They would fish at night for various reasons. A lot of times the fish, it said that would come up more into the shallows at the nighttime, and they go out into the deeper parts. It was harder to catch during the daytime. And so there were a lot of different reasons. Historically, people say, whatever the case was, they had fished all night long, putting the nets out, dragging the nets in, putting the nets out, dragging the nets in, and they had caught nothing all night long. Now listen, I know some of you guys and gals get disappointed. You throw your hook out there a couple of times and you get nothing. But most of us aren't going to work that hard all night. But they did. They did. They worked all night. And Jesus says, Simon, I want you to launch out into the deep, and I want you to let down your nets for a draught, for a draw, for a catch. And Simon says, Lord, we have worked all night. We haven't caught a stinking thing. I don't know that he said stinking, but you and I would have. We ain't caught a stinking thing. But listen to what he says. At thy word. At thy word. And so, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. This is incredible. He says, Lord, we've worked all night. We haven't caught anything, but because you're saying to do it, I'll do it. They cast out into the deep. They put out the net. And I'm telling you, you know, in Peter's mind, he's thinking this is going to be just like all the other times. I mean, you were talking about muscle memory. He's been doing that all night. Throwing the net, bringing it back in, throwing the net, bringing it back in. And you know, somewhere in his mind, he's thinking it's going to be like the other 1,000 times I've done this all night long. But when he throws it out and they start to draw it in, you think all those years fishing, he doesn't know what it means when there's something there? Oh, he knows. He knows there's something there, and you can see, I can just imagine the astonishment on his face, because he doesn't just have something, he's got something, right? Now, sometimes you guys are fishing, and you think you got a monster on the line. It usually turns out to not be a monster. But I'm telling you, he knew he had something, and it was to the point that the net broke. And they're dragging it in, and he's hollering for his friends, especially James and John, the other partners with them, to come and help. And they get their ship over there with them, bring them in. And listen, even with a broken net, they fill the ship up to the point the ships begin to sink. Now, that's a catch. That's a catch. Now, do you think for a second that Peter doesn't know that there's something different about this Jesus? Now listen, we've got it in our minds sometimes that from the day that John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, that they understood who Jesus was, and they believed who Jesus was, and they never had any doubts, and it all just went perfectly for them. And I'm just telling you, these guys wrestled from the beginning to the end with their faith. And sometimes you and I, we wrestle from the beginning and maybe to the day we see Jesus. We're going to wrestle with some things. And so when Peter, and listen, we just read a couple of verses here, but I'm telling you, they were working. I mean, if it was work all night to bring in empty nets, imagine the work it took to bring in nets full to the point they were breaking and filling the ships up, and the ships are sinking. So they finally get their catch all the way in. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Because he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Man, this miraculous catch of fishes, it did something in Peter. It changed him. He falls down at the feet of Jesus and he says, you need to get away from me. I'm a sinner. I think, obviously, Jesus wasn't going to go away from Peter, and he didn't want Peter to go away from him. He wanted Peter to be very near to him. And I just wonder sometimes, have you ever felt broken and ashamed because of your sin? To the point, like, I don't even want to be in the presence of God? Well, that's the way Peter felt. But when he felt that way, it didn't cause him to be cast away from Jesus, it brought him in closer to Jesus than he had ever been. You see the holiness of Jesus, the deity of Jesus, the power of Jesus. He knew exactly where the fish were. He told them what to do, exactly how to do it, and it worked out exactly the way God said it would. And he recognized the holiness of Jesus and said, I need you to get away. He was like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. Isaiah recognized that God was holy and he was wicked. Peter recognized that Jesus is holy and I'm sinful. And yet that didn't cause him to go away. It caused him to draw in closer. I just want you to consider, when we think about the concept of evangelism, because Jesus did all this for a purpose. This miraculous catch of fishes wasn't really about fish. It wasn't about fish. You say, well, that's stupid, Brother Isaac. The boats are full of fish. Obviously, it was about fish. Well, I'm sorry. Maybe I am stupid, but it really wasn't about fish. It was about fishing for men. So what do we learn? We learn that we need to launch out at his word. Not at our pleasure, not when we're not tired, not when we haven't already done other things. But because Jesus says to launch out, we need to launch out. We need to let down our nets. We need to put the word of God out there. You say, well, listen, we've tried this and we've tried that. We've worked all night. We've worked for a month. We've worked for a year. We've worked for 8 years. We've worked for 10 years. It doesn't matter. We keep launching out because Jesus says to launch out. We've already tried that. Doesn't matter. We obey Jesus. Nevertheless, at thy word. Well, what do? Well, we let down our nets. What is that? It's preaching the gospel. There is no other way. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what we need. We need another program. We need a different way to do it. We need a hook. No, we need to be faithful to preach the word of God. Amen. At his word, we launch out and we let down. That's what we do. Verse 11 says, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. Now, I told you before, I think this is a different account from Matthew and Mark, and you can study that out, debate it all you want to. At the end of the day, I want you to get this. When Jesus said, from this moment on, you're going to catch men, they left everything behind and they followed Jesus. Now, how does that apply for us today? Well, it's a spiritual application. Jesus isn't physically standing here and saying, come on, let's go. We're gonna take a trip around Sequoia County in Oklahoma. But spiritually, we follow him. And spiritually, we listen to his word. And spiritually, we listen to the leading of his spirit. And when he says launch out, we launch out. When he says let down the net, we let down the net. And so we go from here. Every time we gather, we come with this mindset that when we go, we've got to go and preach the gospel. And we do that because we're walking with Jesus and we're listening to him. And when you go to work, there's going to be someone you can talk to. And when you stop for gas, and you're really close to the Lord because you're praying, when you're filling up your car now, you're witnessing to the people at the pump. When you go to the grocery store, you're talking to them about Jesus. When you're at work or when you're at school here in a couple of months, wherever it is, we're looking to cast out the net. We launch out, and we let down the net. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And our lifestyle should be about the gospel. And we're not in it alone. We're partners together. We're laborers together with God. Tonight I'm going to ask you to stand with me. There are so many more details to unpack and great truths to glean from. But here at the baseline, the foundation is this. We need to obey Jesus. We launch out, we let down our nets in obedience to Christ. Forget about our excuses, forget about our past experiences. We just be obedient to the Lord. And pray that we can talk about these things in greater depth and encourage one another in the word of the Lord in our groups tonight.